If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Hello and welcome to Talk From Superheroes. Hey everybody, I'm Andrew Rivamy.
And I'm Diana McCullum.
And you're listening to Talk From Superheroes, where every week we discuss a piece of heroic television or film. And this week on the podcast, we are talking about the prequel slash origin.
Slash like kind of reboot.
It's
whatever you need it to be.
Exactly. What do you need? It's there for you. It's Prey. We're talking about Prey this week on the podcast, the new Predator film.
The Hulu / Disney Plus movie Prey. I think only on Disney Plus here in Canada.
It's just Canada because we don't have Hulu in Canada.
Guess what, guys? We don't got Hulu, but it's on Disney Plus
here. But it's integrated right in. It's kind of smooth for us.
It's a streaming film.
I don't need one other streaming service, so you just stay out of Canada, Hulu.
Hulu? You're good where you are.
Yeah.
We like getting all that Hulu stuff right on our Disney Plus, which we already
pay
for.
We're going to keep it exactly where it needs to be.
Honestly, Americans, you should revolt.
Yeah.
We got a sweet deal up here in Canada.
You know what? We don't. Let's be real. Only in this one exact instance is our distribution service better or more convenient in any regard or system. Otherwise, it is a mess. The telecommunications companies are garbage. Mm. They price gouge. There's less selection, more cost, and it's anarchy.
Well, the revolution has been canceled, apparently.
I mean, I guess.
Okay.
The Canadian Revolution, though.
Should happen.
Now we're talking. Canadian.
But first, let's talk about Prey.
Okay.
2022.
Yes, we should talk about Prey. It came out last week. It's a new movie. Whenever we talk about a new movie or TV show, we always give you a spoiler-free review. So in case you're on the fence about seeing it or you just want a taste of the episode before you get a chance to watch it, we're going to give you a spoiler-free review. Then once you hear the theme music, that's when we're going to get into the spoiler-filled section. So start with the simple spoiler-free review and the simple question. Diana, did you like it?
I loved it. What a great movie. An incredible reboot of the Predator franchise or sequel or prequel or whatever you decide it is. It's an incredible Predator film. Really an homage to the original, but like with brand new stuff. Amber Midthunder is so, so good. I love the whole new perspectives going on. The fights are great. The tension's great. The story being told is great. It's got just enough callbacks to the original that are like changed a little bit to be like, oh, that's fun, but it's not like bogging down the story. That's not all that's happening. There's a dog. It's a top-notch action film. It's an hour 40, you guys. There's nothing not to love about this movie. If you like any Predator, you're going to love Prey. It's a love. Andrew, did you like it?
It is a high love. I adore this movie. Fucking rocks.
Slaps.
It slaps. I adore this movie. I think it is fantastic. It is so much fun. It is well executed. It's artistic. It's beautiful. It is everything that you want it to be. It is just an absolute joy. It is a ride. It is, I think, hands down, the best Predator movie. Like, I think this is better than the first Predator.
Ooh, I don't think it's better than the first Predator, but I think it's better than every other Predator. But continue, I'm sorry.
That's a tough debate, but I'm putting it there.
Okay,
I think that this is, in my head, this unquestionably, this is the best Predator movie. It's like, what Predator movie do you want to watch tonight, tomorrow, and always? It's Prey. This movie is flawless. I love it. I adore it. Everyone should be rushing to watch this. It is terrific.
Absolutely. If you haven't seen it, like, you got to go track down how you're going to watch this movie. It is unmissable.
Yeah. Clean, effective, simple storytelling. Everything works beginning to end. It's just a thrilling ride, a very relatable and cool character that we're with from beginning to end, a more central character versus a crew of the original Predator, which is something that really works in this movie. So I like having a more central figure, a more central character. It's a more It's a scary, more unknowing ride. The Predator itself as a creature, as the Predator, I think is the funnest, scariest, and best version of what the Predator is as well. So I love this. This version of the creature is also my favorite. I can't say enough good things about this.
It's really, really fun. Like, even though, like, people have to die because it's a Predator film, you're like, man, everyone in this movie is really competent, and that makes it so much scarier when everyone is just like, oh, no, I couldn't have done better than that as a viewer. Like, you didn't make any mistakes. Predator still gotcha.
Yeah. I think that that is something that it definitely shares a lot of its DNA and heart with the original Predator for, where, like, the original Predator, as much as, like, they make mistakes, which is engaging the Predator, it is meant to be a bunch of hyper-competent people doing their best in an impossible scenario. And this also feels like that in many, many regards.
Many, many regards.
Yeah, it shares a lot of similar DNA in that way.
Predator's just real good.
Predator is just real good. And can it be spoiled?
Yeah, could someone have told me something that could spoil this? I mean, if you've seen a Predator movie, you're going to kind of know where it's going. Maybe a no?
I'm a hard no.
Yeah.
I don't think that this can be spoiled. I think that it is exactly, like, you don't even need to know the Predator franchise. Like, it is a movie in which a human being is at odds with an alien, and how you think that that will progress and play out, there's no real twists and turns along the way. It is just an incredibly well-executed journey. Mm. I think in, like, a 0 out of 10 in terms of how can this be spoiled.
Yeah, that's all. I'll get behind that. Mm. That's fair.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're both a high love, and we both do not think it can be spoiled.
It's 2 weeks in a row with a double love. This feels nice.
It really does
feel
good.
Feels good. Because cinema's coming back.
And every now and then, too, when, like, I don't know if I want to say we get in a slump, but just, like, odds, luck, movie releases get in a slump, and we dunk on things a few too many weeks in a row, and I start kind of, like, getting down on myself. I'm like, I don't want to be the podcast where we're just, like, we hate everything. Like,
because we don't. We don't want to love everything.
And I know that that is, like, a style of media that's popular right now, which is just, like, what if everything sucked? And, like, and I by right now, I mean for, like, many years, but, like, we don't want to be that outlet. And sometimes if things are bad a little too long in a row, I'm like, oh, no, if we become that, and then this week with Prey and last week with The Sandman, it's like, oh, no, wait, I love this stuff.
We do this
movie and TV fucking rock. Like, stories are incredible, y'all.
We do this because we love it. Thank you, things that are good, and sorry, things that are bad that we chose to cover anyway.
Yeah.
That's your fault.
That is your fault.
It's your fault.
It's your fault for you put us through that. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to have a refreshing love. And we will get into the spoiler-filled section in just a moment. But first, thank you to our first sponsor of today's episode. We want to send a thank you to our friends over at Backbone.
Thank you, Backbone. They are the universal gaming essential that instantly enhances your gaming experience on mobile. You simply plug in your iPhone to the Backbone and enjoy console-quality controls as you play console games via remote play or cloud streaming services and App Store games. It's a console on the go.
It's a console. It takes your iPhone and it turns it into a full-on mobile console. And when I say console, I also mean your mobile PC or however it is that you might play. But it's super easy to do. You plug it in. It has pass-through charging as well. So if you do need to charge, you can charge. You've got a 3.5-millimeter headphone jack, so you can plug in physical headphones as well. It can do everything that you need it to do while you're gaming, which is beautiful. And they just released a PlayStation edition of their Backbone 1, which is an officially licensed controller that PlayStation brought to life in collaboration with their design team. So it has the PlayStation, like the PS5 colors, the materials, the finishes. It has the design and style and inspired by the DualSense controller. And it has the buttons with your typical square, triangle, circle, and cross. Not X. We all call it X.
But Sony, it's a cross.
It's a cross. I only found that out because I had the like screen to speech accessibility feature on the PlayStation, and it's like square, triangle, circle, cross. I'm like, cross. Ooh. Oh, we've all been calling you X.
Look what we learned today.
Fancy. But it has that those face buttons, which gives it that PlayStation feel. But then they have additional services kind of built into it as well, the ability to like take screenshots, replay your game. It's a really well-designed product. I've been using it to use to access the Remote Play PlayStation app and play my PlayStation on the go. I've been playing Slay the Spire, which I absolutely love. It's great for these quick little sessions. It's a fantastic piece of technology. I love the Backbone. So go to playbackbone.com/TFS now to order your Backbone for a limited time and get free access to over 350 console games and perks. And Backbone is now the official partner of Diablo Immortal. Not only is the game specifically optimized for Backbone, but you will also receive $10 of in-game perks. Find your next adventure at playbackbone.com/TFS. And thank you, Backbone, for your support.
Thank you so much, Backbone.
And now let's get into the episode. Let's talk about Prey. Right, we have seen Prey. We are now in the spoiler-filled section. But like we mentioned before, I don't think it can really be spoiled. It is human versus monster. Human wins in the end, but it is a tough battle. That's a Predator franchise movie right there.
There is very little to be spoiled. I think the only thing you can spoil, which is I think a nice thing to spoil for people, is actually to let them know the dog lives. I think this is very important, vital information. I found it on Twitter before I watched the movie, The Dog Lived. And so it was still a very tense movie for me, but I didn't have to worry about that good boy.
Because you don't want the dog to be harmed, so you're still tense a bit.
Yeah.
But it's you need to know that the dog lives.
You do. It's so much more important than any human character. And even though I love humans, I love dogs as well. And there's something so much more important about a fictional dog living.
Yeah.
Because, like, what if the actor dog doesn't know it's fictional? What if the actor dog is like...
You don't want
like,
the actor dog
the
stressed out?
The alien killed me.
Absolutely.
Don't want him stressed out. You don't want him to think he's dead.
You worry about the real doggo that's on set. You know, you got to be concerned about these type of things.
Always am. Always will be.
Classic good doggo in this movie.
I should have even maybe off the top been like, guys, the dog lives if you haven't seen the movie.
Shout out to Sari, the dog, the true star of the movie.
Sari, the character played by Coco, is his real name.
Oh, played by Coco.
This dog is not...
Phenomenal job.
This dog not listed on IMDb. I had to look this up separately. Shout out to this dog.
We appreciate your journalism and hard work, Diana.
I am hard hitting. Where's my Pulitzer?
Coco, you're doing fantastic work. Here.
Glad you lived.
Love to see a good dog in a movie, but also just love this movie all around. A fantastic story. And I know we like vary a little bit on how much we love it. I'm putting it as my favorite of the Predator series. I think because it's one of the few ones with like this has the strongest theme and story to tell of anything that is in the Predator series for sure, which is just like this whole story of Amber Midthunder is the lead actress playing Naru, and this story of like you are viewed as prey and using being underestimated as a strength, and also just someone who is being overlooked by her tribe as someone who is like, well, you're not as strong as us or fast as us, but also no one that is with her is willing to acknowledge that patience and intelligence is also a form of strength, and the ability that like no one can understand combat the way that she is interpreting it, and that yes, she is not as good a warrior if she has to go to battle on everyone else's terms, but that's why she's good, because she refuses to do things on other people's terms. And just a really strong through line because of that.
There is so much happening in this theme, but not like too much. Not like it's like murky. It's very clear, like if you underestimate someone, you can use those, what people overlook in you to be a strength and you can get them. But also it feels like this theme is very much like, it's kind of like coming at the whole Predator franchise, I feel like. When you go back to the very first one, Anna is like not attacked because they say she doesn't have a gun, but it's also like It's because she's a woman. The movie kind of highly implies she is not attacked for being a woman. Mm-hmm. It kind of feels like revenge for that, of being like, oh, you're not going to attack women? We can kill you, Predator. Mm-hmm. We can get you. So it feels like the franchise is finally like getting to that point of being like, sorry about that Anna thing in the first movie. Which I really like. But you're absolutely right about like this journey she goes on of like, because there's so... Because competence comes in so many different forms. There's so many different ways to fight. Yes. It's like, she didn't shoot the eagle at the beginning, but she was right that her brother still had to cross a whole river to get her to go get his eagle, and she was waiting until it was on this side. Like, there is such a strength to patience, but, like, impatient people would never see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Like, they are, or, like, the villains within her tribe, the people who do not want her to be a hunter and want her to be a gatherer and do not want her to kind of break this archetypal role, they have narrow casted what their definition of strength is. They've mm-hmm. made something so narrow that it is impossible for anyone to break it. And then they're trying to discredit someone for trying to break something that they've made so narrow it is impossible to welcome other people's strength. So I think that there's a really beautiful, beautiful story in there. And of course it's simple, but it has depth, because that's something that is simple and has depth. The idea of going into a story to be like, what if a bunch of dudes underestimated the abilities of a woman? Be like, yep, that is an A to B, that is right across the board, but it is one that for hundreds and thousands of years has so many layers that we can unfurl and get deeper into, that it can be a very deep story, even though it's a straight shot across the bow.
It's a straight shot. It crosses over into every culture. I'm sure it was in the Comanche people.
Sure.
It's in every people that I'm sure the female gatherers have throughout time been told they cannot be warriors, they cannot be hunters, they're not as strong as the men, they're not as smart. So yeah, definitely just a universal theme that people are going to latch onto, no matter wherever they're watching from. Or not everyone will latch onto, if you've seen Twitter. Oh, the dude bros who are mad a lady killed the Predator.
Yeah, people who don't understand themes or have media literacy will not enjoy this movie. That is for sure. Yeah, the dude bros who are mad at this movie are so embarrassing, because it's like, that's the point of this movie, that you underestimated her. And your narrow definition of strength is why you fail, because you keep meeting the Predator on its own terms, and you can't do that. It bench pressed a bear. You can't physically punch it to death good.
No, you
gotta. You need to be smarter and more clever.
And they really acted like, I hadn't seen the movie when I read a lot of the tweets, and they were acting like she like one shot killed him and didn't take a single blow or something. Mm. And I'm like, this was a war of attrition, you idiots. Like her whole tribe had to tear this thing down enough for her to like learn enough about it to like figure out how to kill it.
Yeah.
Like, this was not easy, but also you did miss the entire point. Yes, of course. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You're still underestimating women, I see.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And also it was the whole point of the first Predator movie as well, which is that you can't big muscle shoot your way into victory, that even the best and biggest people at that cannot do it. And it takes a leader to slow down and think in order to defeat things.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been the theme.
It's always been the theme. I will say, as much as the theme is very clear, the movie a little bit doesn't help us kind of get on Naru's side, because she is really bad at hunting for a lot of this movie. Not really bad, but like it's not mm-hmm. like we see her do really well and like just no one ever spots her, like the dancing frog in Bugs Bunny or something. It's like she can't kill the deer. We see her not be able to kill the rabbits. She can't kill the mountain lion. So I'm like, I don't know, maybe your brother's right for like 10 minutes. She wasn't proving him wrong very quickly.
I'm on the fence about this. I think the movie, I like how it does it for some portions. I like the ambiguity around the hunting. So when it comes to things like the eagle or...
The eagle, I think, was actually
I don't think it was an eagle. I think it was a different type of bird. But the bird...
It was a big bird.
For example, when it's like she's aiming at it and taking too long and the brother kills it, she's like, I was waiting for it to circle back so we don't have to travel as far to get it. It leaves us as an audience with that question of like, is that an excuse? Is that real? Mm. Would you have gotten the kill? But either way, I'm like, I see that like You and the traditional warriors of your tribe are engaging in different types of combat. You are thinking and they are following instinct, and that is going to be the theme of this. I like the ambiguity there. And there's a little bit with the lion where, like, later her brother is like, you injured it.
Or, and like, so your plan worked later, I think he said, when they're tied to the trees. Like, I only caught it because your plan was good.
Yeah, but it's like, you also, one person was killed and you were rendered unconscious. So that's
not the best look.
That's kind of a mixed bag. So mixed results. I'm going to put that under mixed results in that category.
Yeah, and then they do a weird thing where she, like, she can't kill rabbits. And we're like, man, she can't even kill rabbits. And then she makes her axe rope. And we'll get into that in a second. We'll get into axe rope extensively. But then it just cuts to her with, like, five dead rabbits. I'm like, I would really like to see her kill the rabbits. I really need to see her do this. Like, I mean, I know she did. I don't think the dog killed five rabbits and she was just walking with five rabbits. But I'm like, I really needed to see her a little bit sooner do something, like, super competent.
Yeah, I agree. Because it showed her having terrific aim, but then missing all these rabbits.
Really powerful, terrific aim.
Yeah, so I don't know why adding a rope helped you get rabbits. Like, I understand how that helps you get multiple rabbits quickly, but you should still be getting one on a certain go. So there's a little bit of maybe misspoken storytelling going on there to a certain degree.
Yeah, I mean, it is, like, I think she thought she was going to get the second rabbit, but she, like, it took too long to get the axe back, so
the
pullback was just, like, a little bit faster. And then she did catch five rabbits, I guess.
I understand the purpose of the rope, but you should still be getting one. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, whether or not you can retrieve it quickly, you should still be getting one.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, it was weird. And then, but then it was a weird thing. She's really good at fighting humans, though. Super bad at fighting rabbits.
Right.
Can't kill a rabbit for the life of her. But, like, when that guy's trying to, like, make her go back home, she kicks his ass from her tribe.
She wrecks that dude.
She destroys him.
Love it. Love to see it.
And then her first kill, other than a rabbit, is three settlers who are going to kill her dog.
Uh-huh.
She rocks those dudes hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, so you're bad at small. But you're good at big, and then you kill the predator. So if something even bigger than the predator comes along, she should be incredible.
But it has to be bipedal and humanoid.
Yes.
All right.
It has to be. Four legs, no good.
Four legs are no good.
Because she couldn't kill the bear either, but she got one arrow into it.
She did get an arrow into the bear, and she was already, like, dealing with some problems by the time she got to the bear. She had just got out of the mud pit and had, like, a wet bowstring, and then the bowstring snaps, and so that's a whole thing that she's dealing with in that scenario. But yeah, way better against humans than she is against animals. But also, too, like, Amber Midthunder, the actor who plays Naru, is really good at fight choreography as well. So, like, the human fight scenes is terrific. As great as the fight against the predator, obviously, like, there is a stunt performer in the predator costume, and that is a human-on-human fight in many regards. But it's also about, like, choreography in the shot, and it's more about visual storytelling than it is about stunt work. And her against the French fur trappers, that's pure stunt work, and Amber Midthunder is wonderful in those fight sequences.
She is awesome. If any of you have listened to any of our Legion episodes, she was incredible in Legion. She was basically just there to do fights. She didn't have much story outside of it, but her fights were awesome, and it's great to see that she's like, I'm still very awesome at fights. I absolutely know how to do this. I've never killed a rabbit, but I have killed four men.
So
I'm like, cool, girl. You should be war chief. Someone else can kill rabbits.
Although,
if you're gonna kill all the white men who come for your tribe, awesome.
Yeah. Put you in charge of that. I will say, though, her brother does a phenomenal job fighting the predator. He put the nails into that predator.
He did more damage than all of the French settlers combined with, like, guns and a trap that they laid and nets and, like, stuff that they put down. Yeah, he did an awesome job on horseback, just fucking getting it with arrows and knives. He rocked that predator hard. Like, I think he was learning from his sister, which was very nice. Like, he was learning the predator's tactics and what its weapons did, like, along with her. And she kind of just lived longer and got to use, like, more knowledge later as she went.
Right.
But, like, he really was growing, and it was, like, sad to see him die But everyone's got to die but one person in a Predator movie. That's just the rules.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unless there's a child as well.
And I think that, like, yeah.
Unless there's a child or a dog.
Unless there's a child or a dog.
A child or a dog.
Child or dog fill the same function.
And one adult.
Yeah. And I think, though, that, like, her ability to survive and continue to and live to fight another day is also part of the theme of her strength of intelligence, which is that all of these overly cocky, self-assured, like, these like just full of themselves dudes who are just like, I'm great warrior, don't even worry about it. They will engage in combat at a moment's notice, whereas she only wants to do it when it is on her terms. And I think that that is a smarter way to approach it, and why she kind of wins is that, like, it's like, oh shit, the Predator's here. And her brother, a fantastic warrior, does a great job, rocks the Predator hard, and then she dips because she's just like, now's not the time. I can't win right now on his terms, but I can win later on my own.
Yeah, I can. I know where I can lure him, or I will be able to defeat him, and also have cool callbacks to the original Predator.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, rope, and also just like her ingenuity even before meeting the Predator. Like, she invented the rope X.
Yeah,
like she hadn't like seen it somewhere else. She was just like, What if I? So in this universe, she is the inventor of the rope axe.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the guys made fun of her when they saw it. Like, you have a leash on your hatchet or whatever they said.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
I'm going to kill the Predator.
Like, this is an insanely cool
this
weapon.
This is super cool.
Like, also, I should be dead for learning how to use this weapon myself.
with no
training facility. No. Whereas historically, versions of the rope dart or rope knife or variants of that weapon, historically, most of the practitioners of that martial art have killed themselves while practicing that martial art. So it is not a particularly safe art form when it comes to martial arts. I do remember reading that once. I can't cite it or back it up, so this might just be anecdotal at this point. But it is, yeah, you're whipping a sharp object back at your own head at several points. So if you don't have very well-regulated training and practice facilities, that is going to result in you killing yourself.
That does make a lot of sense. As someone who did nunchucks for years, like, I hit myself in the head with my nunchucks a lot. And if my nunchucks were knives,
yeah,
I'd be dead.
Yeah, imagine your...
And I was trying really hard to not hit myself in the head with my nunchucks.
Yeah, imagine your nunchucks were knives and you invented it and you'd never seen anyone use nunchucks.
I have no teacher.
No teacher. You are in the woods alone and you simply tied two knives together.
I feel like this movie probably should have been the Predator comes at her, she throws her rope axe, and it just kills her.
Yeah.
And she just dies.
Yeah, wildly dangerous thing. Do not try at home under any circumstance. Do not try at home any version of the rope dart or rope knife. But looks incredible on camera. I think it really pops and functions and is like a fun... It's a fun style. Like
it's always fun. Like, I can't think of other things that have the rope darts in them, but whenever they're there, it's like, oh, it's going to be something cool and fluid and like gymnastics mixed with martial arts when they do the ribbon.
Yeah,
reminds me of the gymnastics.
A lot of the times they'll tie a little feather or a ribbon on there so that it looks a little bit more flourishy. It also makes it visually easier to track in the air for the person who's the practitioner of the art form as well. But also, like, visual. Speaking of, like, visual elements, this movie looks incredible as well. Like, there are some really, really powerful shots in here, just well choreographed, well orchestrated. Like, the moment of her and the lion in the tree, like, these symmetrical silhouetted shots that they do. Her and the lion in the tree in that first one where they're being hunted. Her jumping out of the tree onto the Predator towards the end.
Ooh, that shot's great.
So these kind of like moonlit, silhouetted, perfectly symmetrical shots, I think really pop and look incredible.
They're really well like laid out, but also it's like things that are at night, but I can see everything.
Yeah.
Like, such a well-lit night movie. Like, at no point was like, oh, is that the Predator? Or is that, like, one of the settlers? Like, I always knew it was happening, but I knew it was nighttime. It was just perfectly well-lit. It was gorgeous. My favorite shot was she's, like, decided to go after the Predator, and she's leaving the village. And they do this, like, aerial drone shot that shows that she's walking in a different direction than all of the other women, because the women are going off to gather, and she's going off to hunt. And it's just this really, like, going against the grain of society within one shot. I loved it. It was so beautiful.
Very really, powerful image.
Yeah, told like everything that was happening in this one image.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's an added layer to that, that I believe that is what leads her to fighting a bear, that she's literally swimming upstream to battle a bear.
Yeah.
So, like, that is...
She wasn't even looking for a bear.
No, she wasn't. She was just looking for something. But, yeah, that was a gorgeous image that meant something thematically. And, like, it's... You know, it's maybe one layer deep, but not everything needs to be nine layers deep. Like, that's just, it's good. It's clean. It tells the story it needs to tell. I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah, the fight choreography was also incredible. Like, you talked about how this was your favorite Predator. And the scene where he kills the white people is awesome. It's some of the coolest, you're right, it's some of the coolest Predator stuff I've ever seen. Like, his, like... pointy shield? What are we calling anything? Nothing has names yet.
An extendable...
It's too new a move.
A collapsible
movie.
Shield?
I guess, but it was like razor shield, maybe? Because it had razors all around it that could kill you as well.
It was pretty sharp as well. Yeah.
So he had his razor shield, and what else was he rocking?
He had the one thing that I did find funny, and it's only because of how I think of it, is he had a razor blade slap bracelet.
Oh, yes, it was a slap bracelet.
Bracelet made out of razors, and it is... wildly dangerous, incredible weapon, taken off limbs, super badass, but it is a slap bracelet. Let's be real about what it is, and it's a slap bracelet.
I think that is actually very badass, because I don't know if you know that original slap bracelets could also take off a limb.
Yeah, I've pinched myself with a slap bracelet
before. Well, also, like, if you took the cloth off of it, it was just metal. Like, you could actually slash someone's wrist open.
Yeah, that
like,
is true.
It happened a few times.
All right, so...
There were stories back in middle school in Mary Machine.
So you just removed the cloth from a slap bracelet. You're the Predator now, baby.
Young girls had these.
Okay.
We were slap braceleting... cutting our wrists open accidentally.
All right, so we had that. Had the, like, projectile arrow-like kind of heat-seeking arrows, a little bit Yondu from Guardians of the Galaxy, kind of moving around the battlefield, projectile arrows, and then obviously the retractable forearm blades,
right,
which is a classic always. Predator move.
Always.
Mm-hmm. So a few of those things. But yeah, some really, really cool weapons.
Oh, acid net. You loved the acid net.
Acid net has come back before. That is miserable.
Uh-huh.
And then, acid spray to break down the skulls for trophies. Just in general, I really liked this Predator as a creature. It was a different fighting style. It was more visceral. Weirdly, this is, I was looking it up, the stunt performer who plays the Predator, Dane DiLuggiero, an ex-basketball player. He's around 6'9", which for us normal-sized people... gigantic.
Pretty tall.
That is adequate as far as basketball players go. And apparently, though, is one of the shorter people to play the Predator.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought the original Predator was not that big a guy.
Original Predator apparently is listed as 7'4". You know, I haven't...
What?
I don't know. Is listed as 7'4". Not the Jean-Claude version who was fired.
Okay.
But...
no, obvious.
He's
only like 6'4".
Mm-hmm. But I think, like, they put you in platform shoes maybe or whatever. But this felt like the biggest Predator.
He felt really big.
Bit like, just like body slamming a bear. Like, it felt, it felt very menacing. It felt very just like slow lumbering Terminator coming towards you kind of a thing.
Not even body slamming a bear. He like tore him asunder above his head. Like, the blood was leaking onto him and getting rid of his stealth suit. It was... whoa. Yeah, they made him really, really scary. Yeah, I don't know if he felt the biggest, maybe because Amber Midthunder is like the smallest person to ever fight the Predator, but he also fought like a lot of regular sized dudes.
That's
too.
Fair. That's fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I did like as well, like the visual elements of coating him in blood to make him visible when he is invisible, like, that was really stylized and well used and absolutely haunting as well.
Now, here's the thing about the Predator, and you pointed this out as we were watching it, which I like, because he fought the bear with his bare hands, and he fought the coyote with his bare hands, and then he fought humans with projectiles because they have arrows. You're like, oh, he matches whatever you have, because that's like, he's honorable.
Yeah.
I don't have a stealth cloak.
The stealth cloak is the one cheating bullshit thing that they use.
Does he think we have that and we just don't use it? Like, he is really, really relying heavily on the stealth cloak.
Now, to be fair, we do match him on that, but he brings it in first.
By taking, like, a flower that makes our body heat
down? In this one, the body heat flower, or in the first one, mud. We do a similar thing. But I he doesn't know that we're going to do that. So that's a little bit unfair.
We also don't know we can do it.
That is true.
It is not
as well.
A thing that we're like, oh, break out the body heat signature hiding techniques.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So I think there's something to that.
I'm not happy with the Predator.
Okay.
I feel like if we don't have cloak technology, he should have to just look at us.
Interesting.
And also, like, he'd be really scary and we'd be like, whoa, I don't know. I think it's scarier to see him.
It definitely is scarier to see him. Yeah, it's definitely scarier to see him. But I think that, we have, like, camouflage and face paints to, like, help hide. Like, I think it's...
Face paint?
It's not light-bending camo, I agree. But he also has better versions of the things he's matching us with. Like, you know, the hunters had bow and arrow. He had a heat-seeking, laser-guided arrow.
Arrow, yeah.
So, like, it is a slightly better version of whatever he thinks we're fucking
I get what you're saying. You know? Whatever you have, you have slap bracelets, I have a razor slap bracelet.
Yeah, a bear has, like, hefty beans with some claws, and he's got, like, adamantium retractable blades that he'll shoot at. So, like, he's coming in with a little more heat.
All right.
I think. But I just adore this Predator. It's very cool. In promotional stuff, it's referred to as they've been referring to it as the feral Predator. And the other thing, too, that I'm not entirely clear on is that some of the materials as well for this movie refer to this as, like, a Predator origin story. I don't know how much origin there is here as much as it is, like, an earlier telling of the same story. I wouldn't go so far as to say this was an origin in the sense that, like, you know, you could easily do one of these with, like, against a Roman soldier in 500 BC. I don't feel like I'm watching the air quote origin now.
But I don't think this was the first Predator to ever come to Earth. We already knew we already knew there was ones before Predator 1 because I think, like, I was reading, I don't remember this specifically, but I was reading that Anna's people, like, know about.
I do remember
this guy
that
comes to the jungle every couple years. So, like, you know, it's an origin in the sense that we have established they came before Predator 1.
Right.
So, I guess.
It's the earliest iteration.
The earliest Predator we know that landed on Earth. Yeah. Now, here's another quick question. I guess if they've been coming for a while, though, and they go to, like, Peru, and this isn't Peru, then they must be successful sometimes. I'm just like, I'm surprised they keep coming here. We fucked up a lot of Predators by this point. Mm-hmm. Like, we fucked up this Predator. Arnold kills a Predator. I haven't seen Predator 2. I assume we kill the Predator.
Sure.
So, like, a lot of people just aren't coming back from their hunting trips to Earth.
They like that. Like, I've always felt
I guess the guy who does come back must be, like, a hero.
Well, that's why there's honor and pride in it, is that I've gotten the impression that, you know, I don't really, other than seeing the movies, I've never really delved into Predator lore in any regard. I haven't read the comics or books or novelizations or anything. I don't know what's going on, if there are deep lore people when it comes to Predator stuff.
I think there's deep lore people.
There's a deep lore people for everything.
There's, like, comics and stuff.
For sure. I've gotten the impression, though, that they're very Klingon-esque. Where, like, it is that, like, I would rather die an honorable battle than win an easy one and come back. Is that, like, if there was a planet where we sent people on hunting trips and 100% came back successful, we would frankly stop visiting that planet because that is kind of a boring, that would be a fishing trip then. Like, that's not anything to us. Like, that is a zero risk scenario.
Naru, you're ruining Earth by killing the predator.
Yeah, oh, just let
more people, more predators.
Just
are
let
come.
Him win and he'll go and they'll go away. Stop.
Just look weak.
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit. So I think that there is an honor among their culture in that regard where it's like, you want, you want the most fearsome possible trophy that someone else can't get.
Mm. It does make a lot of sense. I mean, she's even like that in this movie. Mm-hmm. She wants to go after the lion. She wants to go after the bear. She wants to go after whatever is bigger than the bear. She has a lot of similarities to the predator in that way, which is really, really cool. And yeah, like there's such, oh my God, yeah, because like, you think I'm not a threat is like her line to the predator and I'm going to like hunt you down. It's just, there's such good stuff happening here.
Yeah. Now, the only thing about you think I'm not a threat that I found bothersome is when she's holding a gun to it.
Mm.
It's like, you know she's a threat at this point, Predator. Come on.
Come on. You let her go once because she was tied up. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to kill someone tied up. And I'm like, that's actually pretty cool of you.
Yeah, yeah.
I will perpetually tie myself up if I see a Predator.
Sure.
I'll be like, give me those handcuffs.
Yeah. Or lay down, hands up, whatever. Like, I am not a threat. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, but he definitely like passed by her like at least twice, I think. Because he must have spotted her when he killed the bear. She was right there. Oh yeah, she got away in the water.
Yeah, yeah. She got away in the water, but also she wasn't a threat or attacking it or anything like that. And that's in that scenario that when he found her there, she was the prey. Mm. She was weaponless and about to be killed by a predator. And he attacked as the predator attacks only predators.
Mm.
So that's, I think, why he attacked the bear in that scenario.
Yeah, she really did have to earn that predator title.
Yeah. Which is every other creature that he attacks. He's like, he stays, he watches, and he waits to see a combat to see who the victor is. Whether it's the, like, the snake and the mouse and like, oh, victor, you're the predator.
And that's the rabbit and the coyote. Yeah. Okay.
He doesn't know what the natural chain is, so he just stands aside and watches battles within the natural kingdom play out and attacks the winner as the ultimate, as the better trophy and predator. So I assume he'd been observing this entire battle between her and the bear and determined her to be prey and the bear to be the predator, which is why he decided to fight the bear in that scenario.
Oh, shit. So really early on, he was like, you're prey.
Yeah.
You're not a predator. Oh, man. Yeah, that's a great point. No, I hadn't clocked that that's why we were showing those things. I'm like, yeah, we just need to see some shots of the predator doing stuff.
And they were great shots of the predator.
They were great
fighting
shots of the predator doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Even the coyote, like, got a bite in.
Coyote did some damage. This predator gets banged up.
Yeah, he also, like, I do love when they show someone healing himself up, like, not fully healed, but, like, just, like, you know, putting stitches in.
Sure, yeah, like, doing that freezing of the wound that the predators do.
Yeah, like, you know, if it bleeds, we can kill it, but it does bleed.
It does bleed, yeah. Good shout-out to the original as well when they bring back that line.
Really great shout-outs, not too many, like, it's not bogged down in the shout-outs, but, yeah, if it bleeds, we can kill it, and then the really great turnaround of throwing the predator into the mud.
Instead of her,
which like you expect it to be her because you're like, oh, great. She accidentally fell in mud. Even if she can't figure out what the mud's for, she'll be covered in mud. This is great. And then she uses it against him and you're like, no, wait, what?
But also her in the tree doing the Arnold, the like, come on, come closer. Like, that's good shit, too. That hits just right.
It's real good stuff, but also stands on its own perfectly. Like, if you've never seen Predator, you're like, oh, brilliant.
Yeah, just a clever trap that you've laid out. Yeah.
And it was a completely different clever kind of trap.
That was well, like, established and seeded in earlier, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, that I will just, like, shout out to a friend of mine, Mike Patterson, who played Mike Patterson, who's a Montreal comedian, wonderful human being. I've done shows with him, always a delight. I'm always smiling ear to ear anytime I've ever hung out with this man just because he's a delightful human being. He plays the lead French fur trapper, the guy with the cigar, does a phenomenal job of it, plays a dick so well, but the most fun human being you could ever possibly meet. Just loves wrestling, being loud, and making people smile. But he does a terrific job in this role, and it was so cool to see a friend and fellow Canadian performer and doing his thing out there in this.
It was cool. And he got to be in one of the coolest scenes, which is when she's like, you don't know this, but I'm killing you. And he doesn't know this either. By like giving him the gun that won't shoot, so the predator will go after him. But cutting off his leg with the slap bracelet first. Like, holy shit, that girl went feral fast.
That was vicious.
She went through some shit and really changed coming out the other side. Yeah. Absolutely brutally vicious. So yeah, he was in like the coolest scene.
Yeah, he got some really cool scenes. I am jealous and proud of friend Mike Patterson for doing some phenomenal work in this movie. And I think that like the French fur traders in general worked as a really good foil for this movie and played really well.
I really like how much this movie, and I mean this genuinely, is like, wow, white people suck. Because we do. We absolutely fucking do.
Most because
so many, and it's seated in a way that it's like, you can't deny we suck, but also like, that's not the point of the movie, but it's so true. Like you get to like the field of buffalo and the buffalo are all just like skinned and dead. And I'm like, wow, I don't know why the predator killed like 80 buffalo. What a weird, like, I don't even think they're predators. I think they eat grass.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, of course I'm an idiot. And like 30 minutes later, you're like, oh no, white men do this.
Yeah.
They take the skin and they leave so much meat behind.
Right.
Oh my God, we're awful.
Right.
And then you get to like the white guys like camp, and then wherever the white guys live, like all the trees are gone. They've like burnt them down. Like the world just sucks wherever they are. And
sure.
It's this subtle thing that they're doing. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's ash
dark
snow.
And ashy.
It's ash snow because they burnt down the forest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To like get more buffalo, probably.
I think it's flash clearing in order to like build settlements.
Yeah, of course.
So it's rather than cut down the wood, if you already have enough, you just cut down as much as you need and then burn the rest to the ground. Trashy, terrible ass behavior. Yeah.
Just wonderful, yeah. So like, you're just like, when they all die, you're like, go predator. You get to cheer on the predator for a bit.
You do get to cheer on the predator for
and he's really
bit.
Cool, so it's fun.
Yeah, and you get to cheer on the predator for a little bit, but I also feel like, I don't know, are they trying to draw a parallel between the colonizers and the predator as well? Because the predator is also someone who is like going around killing animals, collecting trophies, not necessarily caring about what's going on. But I guess that like it is more of a trophy hunter. It is not necessarily attempting to claim land. It is like the assumption is the predator, if victorious, does leave at some point. So maybe
yeah,
not quite as bad.
He's just on vacation, but he is killing for no reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And claiming instead of furs, claiming spinal
skulls and spinal columns.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. I guess, this one is just skulls. It's the first Predator movies. There's some spinal columns. But
it's a little spinal column action.
Yeah. This one's just skulls. Keeping it clean and breezy with just skulls.
Also another thing that I really like, which like obviously it should be done this way because it's from her point of view, but it like Comanche is the default language. Like she can't understand the fur traders. They're not translated. There's only one fur trader who can speak to her who speaks Comanche. It's really nice for it not just be like, we all speak English, right? Kind of like bullshit that most people movies would do, or we all speak French because they're French fur traders, I guess.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, it was just nice. Just like nice subtle things to be like very respectful of what this movie is actually about.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And who
it
stars.
Absolutely. I feel like the, and you know, not that I'm the one to give this a passing grade. It seems like,
absolutely.
It seems like a lot of Native and Indigenous people have been very positive around the reception of this, but its representation seems to be very positive and wonderful and mean a lot to a lot of people. And it's fantastic to see. Nothing but love and respect for the movie in that regard.
Yeah, because this could be something you could really mess up easily.
Yeah.
Definitely, because I think the director's a white guy. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
So, like, risky business. Dan Trachtenberg.
Yeah, it could.
Yeah.
It could play out a few different directions.
Mm-hmm. But, like, just, like, yeah, wonderfully respectful. Nothing to complain about as far as I've read. And I think I would have read something by now if there was.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The only salty people I've read from are people who are salty at life in general.
Yeah,
so
the dude bros.
Yeah. Fuck those people who are mad that a female character was strong. I think I saw two negative reviews that were from people who did not like that French settlers were portrayed poorly.
What?
And it's like, maybe we just let, maybe you just take the L on that one.
Who wrote your history books, buddy?
Maybe you just take the L on that. So there's for the most part, a lot of positivity going on around this film.
The final thing I want to say, and I meant to say it way earlier, but it's fun to end on, is even right off the top, I think you can tell this movie's going to slap because the credits rule. I feel like you can tell a movie's going to rule when the credits are done with, like, care and something cool happens within the credits. Because, yeah, the way it just pans up and it's like, pray. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be good.
You're right, and I agree. That opening title card did hit hard. It hit hard.
It hit with a promise of you're going to see a great movie.
Yes.
And we did. Yeah. And that's rare, really rare, because most titles are just titles. And actually, most titles show up at the end of movies lately.
Yeah, fair enough.
And that's bullshit.
Yeah, so I agree with you. That title card did hit. You know I love when a title card hit. Ooh. And it hit right. It hit right. I was all about that, Prey.
I think it was great, yeah. Great start. Great ending.
Great
all of
in
it.
In between. Well, I'm feeling good on Prey. You feeling good?
I'm feeling great. I'll watch Prey again right now.
I would too. Well, let's go in for the close. Let's ask the final question of what would you change? So now that we've discussed everything we've discussed, what would you change about this movie if you could change anything? But before we do ask the final question, we want to thank our other wonderful sponsor of today's episode. We want to thank our friends over at TeePublic.
Oh, TeePublic.com. You're going to get your next favorite t-shirt or hoodie or tank top or phone case or laptop cover, all with an incredible design on it made by an indie artist getting a fair commission for their work. That's a lot of stuff I just threw at you, but it's all good stuff.
Yeah, just go there, get something cool for you, and you're going to support people for doing it. It's as simple as that. And because they are designs submitted by independent artists, you get some cool and unique things. Like one that I am liking this week is a take a look. It's in a book. It is a Reading Rainbow-inspired design. It is the book flipping open. We got a beautiful rainbow coming out. Reading's fun, y'all. So I like take a look. It's in a book. That's the shirt that I am liking this week. But it's also available on mugs, masks, stickers, hoodies. They got kids t-shirts, too.
They got a lot of stuff over at tpublic.com. Don't let the word tea fool you into thinking that's all they have. My shirt this week is the Dora Milaje. The Dora Milaje from Black Panther, female warriors. There's a theme here. It's the three Dora in silhouette against the sun rising, and it says the Dora Milaje, armored, adorned, adored. They are so cool. It's a badass shirt. You're going to want it when Black Panther 2 comes out. You're going to want it before Black Panther 2 comes out. It's badass as hell.
It is awesome. And both of the designs that we just mentioned, those are available at our storefront, which is at teepublic.fromsuperheroes.com. That is teepublic.fromsuperheroes.com. And when you shop through our storefront, not only do you support the artist who designed the work, but you also directly support this podcast as well. So if you head on over to teepublic.fromsuperheroes.com, check our storefront, shop around there. You can also search the main site and you'll still support this podcast as well. And thank you, TeePublic, for your support.
Thank you so much, TeePublic.
And as well, we'll remind you, as we do all the time with our reminders.
Every week. I've set a little alarm.
A little recurring alarm reminder. Please subscribe, rate, review, follow on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Podcast Addict, wherever it is that you are listening to this. It's a free and simple thing to do, and by doing it, you help support this podcast because it helps us move up the charts. It helps improve our ranking in the algorithm, which recommends us then to new potential listeners. So it is a great way that we grow and expand and find new listeners. And also, when new listeners stumble across the show, they do check the reviews, and positive and recent reviews make it more likely that someone is actually going to hit download, hit subscribe, and become a new listener of the podcast.
You guys are in charge of our new listenership, and we appreciate it so much. All the reviews really, really help. They help us get new listeners. They help our hearts soar in the air. So yeah, if you have a quick second, wherever you're listening to this, leave a 5-star review, a quick rating of 5 stars, a quick review of like noise, plate of soup, all the classics. You know what we like.
You know what we like. So do that for us. And as well, the last thing that we will mention as our reminder is that if you want, you should check out our Patreon page. If you have a little bit of money in the in your budget in order to support this network and get cool bonuses for doing it, Patreon's a monthly subscription service. You can subscribe at whatever it is you can afford, $1, $2, $5, $10, $20, $50, whatever it is that you got. And the $1 ones add up and mean a lot to us, even if it is a dollar. Do that. Do you. We appreciate you. But at different levels, you'll get different bonuses. You're always going to get some exclusive bonus. But at the $10 hero level, you get an exclusive episode of this podcast every single month. This month's Patreon exclusive was on Aliens versus Predator Requiem. So that's Alien versus Predator 2, the second one. So if you want more Predator action, that is up right now over on our Patreon page. So you can get more Predator talk over there right now, plus Aliens and whatever a Requiem is. So that's up right now. You can find that over there. And also you get immediate access to the back catalog when you sign up too.
There are like 80 episodes of Talk from Superheroes waiting for you. It's a wild amount of extra content that you could have at your fingertips all at once when you sign up at the $10 level at patreon.com/fromsuperheroes.
That's patreon.com/fromsuperheroes. And now, let's go in for the close. Let's ask the final question of what would you change? Diana, what would you change?
It's a very small change. My change is that I felt like she was going further and further away every time she was encountering the Predator. Because the first time she encounters him, they're like trying to find the guy who went after the cat. And it feels like they're only like an hour away from the tribe. And then she has to go like all the way across the plains and she finds him. And then she has to go to the fur traders who seem even further away. And my change is that the Predator is actually getting closer to the village. And that's why she's worried. Because if the Predator's going further away, it's like, just leave him alone. He's leaving. So my change is that she like sees him land. It's quite far away. The cat is like really far away for some reason. And like, she sees him in the distance again. And then like she can tell that it's getting closer. And this is again, like, why she's smart, why she's patient. She's noticed this thing is coming closer to their village. And that's why she's going out to meet it. But right now it feels like the Predator is leaving their territory and she's kind of chasing after it, which is, I think, what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to hunt something that's trying to hunt them. But this just seems like way out of her league and unnecessary to do a little bit of the time. So yeah, just a small change. I want the Predator to be coming towards her village and make her more of like a protector than a just like kill for no reason hunter. Mm-hmm. So that's my change.
I love that. And I am 100% on board with that. I never really thought about how she was getting further away until you bring it up. And you're right. She's getting out into no man's land. But I did notice and kind of feel this absence of threat towards the tribe. Like, this was strictly for the honor. And I think maybe there was something intentful in that to be that, like, she is the Predator in this scenario, where she is someone who is going to a faraway land because she has something to prove to come back with a trophy. So, like, they're meant to be the same, despite her being perceived as prey, but...
And I think if she just completely went out alone and only, like, the French settlers got killed, that could work, but, like, five people from her tribe die.
Right,
because they came out to look for her. So then it's not really worth it. Then her pride got five people killed if that's what just happened.
I understand.
So, yeah, the Predator's getting closer to the village.
I like that.
Thank
I like
you.
That. Yeah.
Andrew, what would you change?
So fully on board with that. Love flipping the geography. I would change the setup for the initial tiger hunt.
Okay.
Because her plan to trap the tiger goes, or the lion goes poorly.
Mm, it
One
does.
Person gets killed. She gets rendered unconscious. And she does enough damage to the lion that her brother finishes it off. But one person's killed, and she's rendered unconscious. It is a poor trap. But she thinks it's a good trap. I think that should be her brother or the other guy's idea.
Mm.
And she's like, this is actually poor. Like, we can't trap a predator. It doesn't want easy food. It wants to hunt. Because then
like the T-Rex.
I think, yeah, very, that is a great parallel. Because the thing that should parallel is that later in the movie, when the French trappers do that with them for the Predator. So the French trappers are like, we've cut them and put them up on a tree, and now the predator is going to come to eat them because that's what they think the predator wants is food, I guess. And they're like, and then we'll trap the predator. And it's like, no, the predator doesn't want an easy meal. The predator wants to hunt. And that is a poor trap that the French fur trappers do.
It's a
poor trap for the lion in the beginning of the movie. So I don't like that that's her idea. I feel like she should be like, I've got a better idea. We need to lure it out of its own territory.
Somewhere because where it's not comfortable or familiar.
In the way that she lures out the predator in the final end, and in a way that would be thematically consistent with, I always have good ideas, and these dumb, dumb men don't listen to me and get themselves killed. And whether that is her tribe or whether that is the French fur people, it is dumb men with what they think is a clever idea who don't realize that they're hunting a hunter. And that's what I would like. It would parallel those two scenes so much stronger to be like, it is two instances of overconfident male ego thinking that they cannot be, no one could be smarter or tougher than them, and then losing and being slaughtered. And then she is the one who has the better idea of patience.
Yeah, I think that absolutely works and makes sense and would be a much better arc for her of just like, I'm smarter, but I'm not listened to. Mm. I have great ideas, but they like no one will try them out. Because yeah, her getting full control of that plan and getting someone killed and her dying just because she was like lightly distracted by some fire in the distance was not a good look for how cool she ends up being.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the distraction even was too far away and not big enough.
No,
as
it wasn't
well.
Like a tree blew up next to her or something. It was really far away. So I think that's a really good change, because that is a great parallel I hadn't even thought of before, that those two traps absolutely parallel. But yeah, that makes her look even worse, because then she does what the fur traders do.
Yeah, because when they're tied to the tree and the fur traders are like, this is going to work, I'm like, here comes the slaughter, because this is the exact lion scene earlier where the lion saw it coming and attacked you.
And then
we see the trapper scene, the predator in the background, invisible, ripping them apart quietly. And it's like, of course, it's the same scene. It's the same apex predator that you've set an oversimplified trap for.
Lovely change. Wonderful. Ooh. Perfect change.
Well, I think we did it.
I'm with you.
Flip the geography too. That is a way better kind of like countdown problem.
These are really good changes for a movie that I thought was pretty close to perfect. But we'll show you, everybody.
I goddamn love this movie. Do not doubt me. We are going to be back next week on the podcast talking about another less loved Predator movie. I have not seen it in decades. We will see what it's all about. Next week, we're going to be talking about Predator 2.
I've never seen it. Very excited. I think this is the only Predator I haven't seen.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Unless
okay.
There's a Predator 3 I don't know about.
There's Alien versus Predator.
I've seen that.
There is a Predator. We've covered Predator 3.
Is it Predators?
It's Predators.
Oh, I've seen that.
And then there's The Predator
I've seen
again.
That.
So we've seen Predator 3, 4, 3.5, 4.5.
I was asking if there was
I don't believe, no, there's no numbered.
Well, then this will be my final Predator.
I believe so. We'll be back talking about that next week. In the meantime, if you want to get a hold of us, you can reach me online at Ivamy, Ivimey.
You can reach me at Words of Diana.
And you can reach both of us at From Superheroes. And we'll talk to y'all next week.
Bye.